No. I'm not. How long is it ago now? How long is it ago now? I'm not counting now.
25 years.
Yeah, round. So, I mean, yeah, 25 years. So, I mean, it's a long time.
Well, the reunification is, well, quite some time in the past.
On one point, my father died, and he was also like a heavy smoker, and he left me self-stuffed cigarettes quite a lot, because he was like always preparing for the next couple of months. So he was stuffing cigarettes all the time. Yeah, in his whole heritage, there was a lot of boxes, salad boxes, former salad boxes, filled up with self-stuffed cigarettes. My dad was born in Berlin, and then he studied photography in Leipzig in the beginning of the 70s. And so, but the most time he was living half in Leipzig, half in Berlin, and then I think like in the mid of 80s he moved to Berlin. Died, and he left me all the cigarette boxes, and I was sitting in my studio, and I had this idea like, okay, what to do also with all these self-stuffed cigarettes? I mean, it's also, I was thinking to throw it away, but I thought like, it's also money. So I start smoking them by myself and handcrafted. And maybe it was like a last ritual or ceremony to say goodbye to my father, to smoke all these cigarettes. And I was sitting in my studio and I was thinking about the material which is in daily use everywhere, and which is like really like a random material. And I came to cigarettes.
Also, I had another friend, the name was Chain, really Chain. Also like this, we say Chain. And for sure, all the kids, like the Bavarian idiots, were like, Tarzan Chain, and making these awful jokes. And she was super cool. It was the first girl I was starting to driving the skateboard. So
yes, there have been wounds, and there are still like trenches in the consciousness of the people, especially of the elder ones. Like when your life is sort of cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you've thought and believed and worked for is suddenly, this is explained to be nothing or not worthwhile and or worthless. This is definitely a shock. And then also even for like for younger people who were sort of in their teens or maybe young grown-ups, they also, like as far as I know from the talks with friends of mine who came and grew up in the East, they were shocked by the anti-social behavior of Western people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, Gundula Schmitz. She was working in a transgender bar in West Berlin at this time in 89, and then like the wall was falling down and all the East Berliners came to West Berlin, and then she said, like, you know, like, and we were sitting there in the bar, and somebody came, like, hey, you know what, Gundula, the bar just opened, the wall just opened. Nobody was really interested in.
And I had this girl, she was my flatmate, and she, one evening, she came into my room and said, yeah, the wall has fallen.
And like 2 or 3 hours later, there were some stonewash Aussies. Stonewash Eastern, like Eastern people from East Berlin with stonewash jeans in the bar.
Yeah, for me it was, especially it was from David Hasselhoff.
And everybody was looking at them, and it was totally clear, okay, and these are the East Germans.
In the 80s was also the decade of Margaret Thatcher, and later of, what's his name, Ronald Reagan, Reaganomics, and Margaret Thatcher with her neoliberal thinking, and Margaret Thatcher already said, it's not, I don't know the word in English, it's not the thing is not so much about economics, it's more about the soul of people. Yeah,
these are the East Germans, and they were asking like for free beer, because there was this rumor, and it was happening in West Berlin in this night, that a lot of bars offered free beer to East Berliners, but not in this transgender bar. I think they just kicked them out.
The important thing was, human-wise, it was really interesting because we, it was like this. The border was open, the Karl Trabant and Wartburg, and there was a label of these cars, two cars, because they had only Trabi and Wartburg. So far we saw it as kids. And then a lot of people came with a car to the border and want to come to West Germany, or now together Germany, but to the other side of Germany. And really a lot. And we stand on the street and we had to swing and to shake the flags for the Eastern, ex-Eastern German people to say hello. But it was not our will. It was fun, but they say to us, we have to do it. So it was, yeah, they told us. Yeah.
I mean, the dividing of Germany and also the reunification or transformation or however you call it is also still part of the Second World War. I mean, it's like a result of the Second World War.
And all the people came in kind of a personal rush. They really want to leave. Could really feel it. The people really, it was like you run really away. As a kid, as I was, it was like, wow, the people run away from something really bad. It seems so. It was for me as a kid, I was not politically totally informed. I was 10 or 11. I was not super fit and everything, but I had the feeling they really want to go. So, and then it was cold, it was in October. In the streets, all the cars, they were standing, it was full. That means nobody could... it was packed, it was totally full. You could go out, in, it was completely full. So they had really to stay in these queues, and there were no toilets, so for sure they couldn't go anywhere. And then for sure in long streets, even there were no buildings, they have to go in the forest. So, and then they shit in the forest. And the problem was that then the love and the peace for the new people that come were totally over. In between 3 days, because they start to complain, they come here over the border and then they shit all in the forest, and also they buy all the bananas are away.
But suddenly I could take my bicycle and go through places where there was a wall before, For me, this was a great thing.
And Poland for me was always important, because in the beginning of the 90s, the first travels on my own with my friends into foreign countries was Poland, because it was so close to Berlin. And it was cheap at these times, and also in the beginning of the 90s, Poland was like the Wild West, and me as a young graffiti writer, it was, I mean, you can do there, you were able to do everything what you want, so. And if it goes wrong, you can pay the police. I always had my 100 euro bill with me, and a 100 Deutschmark was it then.
And the people had to wait to go to the bank to get the money, because they get money, 100 mark, it was in this time, and they want to have it as the word is Begrüßungsgeld.
And also the trains in Warsaw in the mid of the 90s, I mean, this was our New York, you know, was completely covered by graffiti.
Yeah, they got 100 mark, and me personally as a Western person, I think this is a total humiliation. Mm-hmm. I think this is a disgrace to hand somebody over like this. Here you've got 100 marks and now you can go by yourself. Well, bananas was always the joke. But also other stuff, and to get people into this consumer position, which this is disgusting.
No, I mean, I remember I've been in a bar, not a bar, like Kudam. A friend of mine was a DJ there, and then people came in crying, and so it was one of his usual nights, and I think he played some hip house stuff that was coming for me like the memory of that moment, yeah.
Well, I must say something about that time in general. The 90s was a decade which came after the 80s. What a big a surprise.
The hello money to go into your new wonderful super rich country, and then you have 100 D-mark to have pleasure with it or to start whatever you want.
Today, not to shop something because they need something, but the event of shopping, that's for the so-called masses the highest joy. I think this is disgustable. And so, and the whole Spaßgesellschaft which began in the 80s and which had a climax in the 90s, the soundtrack for this was a Berlin Spaßgesellschaft that was Berlin techno. Yeah.
They were in front of our house. My grandmother was listening to a screaming baby really loud, and she was thinking, what's happening there? And she was going down and saw a really young family with a newborn baby, and the baby was screaming, and because of the Trabant, they have no heater. When the car stand in the queue, you have no heater in a car, and they really were freezing. So, and then my grandmother was thinking, okay, we have to bring them in our house. And for me it was like, wow, first the people are really running from the country, now they stand in front of our door, wow, now they're visiting our room. And I was like totally excited because it was so, whoa, something is happening.
And maybe I'm, yeah, maybe it's true, I'm not old enough to talk about like this whole GDR life, but this is also not what I'm interested in. I'm more interested in this from 89-90 perspective, because what was going on then was like this transformation. And this transformation process was like a biographical cut in every life of all the Eastern German people. And this is really interesting.
Bring the fucking wall down. And it's even David Hasselhoff was thinking it was his fault, in a good way, that this wall breaks down. Amazing. But it's not.
Because also from the Eastern people... they are a little bit afraid of the Western people, which I understand, of course. They lived in this society. They know how these all things, like these things, work, and they didn't know. They first had to learn it. Yeah, they had to learn things, and they were grown ups. They were old people, and. And you had to learn from the beginning again how this society is working, yeah?
I think within the next 2 weeks she had decided to visit some relatives of her somewhere in Leipzig. And she, because she was a graphic designer, she immediately started working on a poster for a film festival there. And that was the time when I think the first... private Macintosh computers came into the households of graphic designers, mostly. And of course she had one, and those Eastern friends of hers had no computer at all. And that was also the fashion when sort of you started making the pixels visible, or using the pixels as image elements or for design. And so she was designing this film festival poster for those friends of hers, and she used all the new technology. And I remember that after some times that her cousins started becoming very angry with her and also called her a besser Wessi, because she had the best intentions, but... evidently she was a bit maybe too dominant with her own design, and the her relatives and, well, the people there, they didn't receive it as positive as she intended it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite clear that there's already a clash of cultures, also, of course, in terms of use of technology.
Yeah. Also from a politics, the Eastern experience things that worked wonderful in the GDR. It was an awful regime, it was an awful society, but of course also there some people organized them, and they organized it good. Yeah, but came to reunification, it was not a unification. No, it was that the eastern part went into the western part and made it bigger.
Big sellout.
No, it was more like if that historical change is happening, then you, it's more like surfing this historical wave, and you think, like, why is not everyone doing that, seeing the chance that we are in a transition now? In a huge transition. And then the internet came at the same time. So I was coming from that background and seeing how much technology is changing things. I mean, you have to imagine that computer culture was kind of avant-garde in the 80s and then became really mainstream in the 90s. The PC, computer, Macintosh and so on. So that was part of it, that it was like really like a futuristic, future shock element, also in music.
Oh, there is a machine outside of the window. Oh, this fits to that what I want to talk. Do you hear this machine? I don't know what it was. It's driving around on the meadow. I closed the window again.
Yeah, I mean, one system crashed and the other one one, basically, that's how it was perceived, and definitely like a pity in the end, so that, you see certain open situation, and you see lots of possibilities. You cannot take all the possibilities, but that...
Well, this is something I want to also talk about, that, because the 90s, the time after the solution from East and West, a lot of things became possible. You could travel, you could go around in the world, there were no borders anymore. I mean, during the early 90s, less and less borders. Other borders came, but now first we had less borders. And also, I want to talk about noise. In the early 90s, the word noise was used a lot. But noise has, the German word Geräusch. Well, okay, so we only talk about noise. In the 50s, in the 60s, and still in the 70s, maybe changed a bit in the 80s, but really it changed in the 90s, that the word noise changed from its meaning in a description of something which is that doesn't fit. Oh, there's a noise in the music. Oh, what? There were noises in the music. Oh, no, we want to hear. Don't have any noises in the music. That's not music if there are noises in the music. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that a lot of the paradigms we are working today with come basically still from the 90s. And they are so hard to overcome because it was such a strong formative time. So, and there's still a lot to profit from that time. And so it's rather the question what comes next, which can override that. It's not enough to come with a new philosophical fashion and say it's over with the 90s, now we have speculative realism.
The noise from this machine outside the window is always getting louder and louder. Well, what is it? Yeah.
Blah, 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 or musical styles. I rather see it's there's nothing new anymore. It's like people give up. and even believing that there's anything new. It's just recycling. You can access the archive. You can just reread stuff. You can reconfigure it, and reenact it. And that's what's happening. I think it's almost like after the millennium, the the last for me, the last 15 years. Becoming less and less historic, and after 9/11, there's a new time now. But it feels like history has basically stopped working like it used to work in a linear fashion. So now it's very with lots of little loops, and like as if the whole thing is stuck. And that has to do with the dominance of capitalism, of course. It doesn't allow even time to escape. Yeah, it's all part of the stock market system, and the narratives and media are totally controlled and basically part of propaganda systems, like it was in the East.
I've been looking for freedom, and we thought, wow, and the face, and he was a superstar, and then it was for me like the song I saw, because it was a TV, and it was really everywhere. You can see him as a star, and he's a star also of Berlin Wall Falls Down, and then with a glitter jacket, and we were totally impressed. So.
Yeah, to talk more about music or noises, that suddenly a lot of groups and musicians and also amateur musicians, it was just easy thinking. It was, of course, it was no question that you can use noises in your music. Sounds which didn't come from instruments, but sound you recorded in at any place, and you used it for your music. Well, I must say, I did it 30 years long, yeah. But always I was looked upon a little bit as crazy that I say this is music, and suddenly everybody said that it's music. Yeah, it was a development which I enjoyed, of course. Yeah. I felt as winner.
See, and he said to me, like, really, all the books who are written about this whole transformation process are most written by Western professors, because all the Eastern professors, they were not really taken serious, or they were not taken serious by the Western professors, because they said, the Western professors said, like, if you were a professor in the East, you need to be in the party, you need to have the connection to the government. So, we can't take you serious anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why all the books, most books, are written by Western professors.
And but the real winner was the noise.
I mean, there are Western voices. And then on the way back in the train, I was writing a text about this experience. And then I had this reading, and there was also like the chief or like the head of the Kunstmuseum Bonn was also there, and I was talking about this whole GDR thing. And then after the reading, he came to me and said, like, Mr. Klotzek, was really interesting, but don't you think, I mean, like, it's all like 23, 24 years gone, this whole thing. I mean, is it not over yet? Is it still? I mean, we are all one country now. And by the way, aren't you too young to talk about this historical thing? And then I was continued talking to him, but in my back head, I was really shocked, you know.
So we don't have one Germany. No, we have a big West Germany yet. Yeah, a West Germany, a federal republic, where the federal part, so to say, the states were added to, yeah. Nothing remained from these Eastern people, yeah. Yeah, naja. Well, there's no much about to say, but maybe this is a first impression, an awful impression.
He thought that this historical process is done. And I was really shocked because he was in a high position, cultural position in Germany, and he thought that this isn't a theme anymore. And I felt like the generation of 68, you know, who were talking about like the NS regime, you know, and people said to them like, hey, but it's over. Hello, we are trying to do new things, you know. Yeah, I felt like this, and this was one of the magic moments where I felt like, hey, there needs to be a lot of things done, you know. Hey, there needs to be a lot of things done, you know. Hey, there needs to be a lot of things done, you know. Hey, there needs to be a lot of things done, you know. Hey, there needs to be a lot of things done, you know. Even from my perspective. If I meet people who are in the same age from Western Germany, I mean, they are not interested. They have no clue about East Germany, you know. The only thing what they know is that it was a dictatorship. There was the Stasi. And there you have, and you still can get the East German champagne in the supermarket, plus the chocolate and the Bautzner mustard, you know. And that's their picture. And I think this picture is, there are more things need to talk about this whole thing.
I was sitting in a bus, and suddenly a man came into the bus, and he was stinking a lot of perfume. Yeah, and this was very normal situation. It was in the mid of 80s, and he was stinking of perfume. I don't like perfumes actually. But usually if people stink of perfume, then they are female. But this was a man, yeah? And suddenly I got clear in my mind that things have changed, that all things have become waren. I have to look in the dictionary, I have to make a break to look in the dictionary and look what's a ware.
And the interesting thing is that in 91 or 92, I went to this exhibition place in the ground of the Berlin TV Tower, because my stepfather, he was in the, let's say, not really government, but he was in the GDR opposition. And after the Wende, he was part of this round table discussion, what to do next. So he was kind of important. And we were invited for this first Ostpro Messe, which is like an East product fair, and which is from nowadays perspective really interesting, because in the beginning everybody wanted all these new products, you know, like Heinz ketchup, BMW cars, all this Kinder chocolate, you know, and all that stuff. And nobody wanted to have all this old stuff anymore. But really soon, like only 2 or 3 years later, after they were realizing that the blooming landscapes, can you call it blooming landscapes, which were promised by Chancellor Kohl, were not happen, people were really sad and depressive about it, you know. Because it wasn't the golden age, it was actually really one of the most fucked up ages. So they were really frustrated, and they somehow there was a need for this nostalgia products again. So all this brands were existing in the GDR came now up again.
Yeah, what I wanted to say is that I suddenly recognized that everything, that all things have become products, you know. And suddenly there was this man, I even never saw his face, and it is, the whole story is so small that it's not worth to be told. But for me it was the moment when I recognized, aha, now we are in a time that everything is a product. The perfume is a product, and people like, and they are educated, they want to buy products.
With like champagne from East, Rotkäppchen, or mustard from the East, or whatever, you know, and some really clever business people said, like, okay, we're going to produce all these old products again. And in 91 was this first fair for all these products. and I was strolling around this fair and was eating some chocolate and then some fish, you know, and then some stuff like here and there. And
after a while, you had like this crazy taste in the mouth: chocolate, fish, cake, bread, pickles, you know, whatever you want, all from the GDR. And this strange taste, I will never forget this, maybe is like the equivalent taste to this picture of what is shown nowadays from GDR.
German woman had fear of the Eastern German woman because... yeah, they had fear because first they thought after when the wall was down that they will come and take the work, will take the work away and... will take in first line the man away and they will come and they said, yeah, you know, the Eastern German girls, they're always have makeup and make themselves sexy and they're cool and they come and all they will take us the man away. And they were really in fear, and they had really always the girls were complaining about you see this typical Eastern German girl, so but really in a bad way, in a really in an offensive way to let them know you're like just bitches come here to West Germany and West Germany and to sometimes because also they look more self-confident and more free, and some I think it's because they had to care about the life in Eastern Germany different, because they worked, a lot of them were working, and they know how to manage their own life from the beginning on, so because it was in the politic, I think it was like forced to behave like this. It was like a working woman, it was good. It was not like in Western Germany, you have to stay at home and then you raise the kids. And a lot of times it was like this, that the man had to go to work and the woman was at home or alone or something like this. And these girls were more like, hey, come on, we go to work or we have also kids. But the kids also were in kitas. And it's different because... it's kindergarten, and it's a kindergarten. It starts from 1 year, something like this. And in Western Germany, it was not so common, and it was like not a good tone to give your kid with 1 year. It was like, what? You give your kid with 1 year away? No, you have to keep it like the big, big mother cow till it's maybe five. But it was really different to see your own freedom, your own passion to do your life. And I think the fear was then really they came and they know what they want. And in every cases in the world, this makes fear. People, they know what they want and what they don't want.
Aber, also ich kann es nicht auf Englisch, Niki, ich bin total unsicher. Ich habe, ja, okay. Also ich hatte zum Beispiel noch vor dem Mauerfall, hatte ich mal, war ja kein Freund in dem Sinne, aber ich hatte was mit einem DJ aus West-Berlin. Und ich war total verknallt, wie ich immer gleich total verknallt bin, aber den fand ich halt extrem cool, ja. Und da habe ich mal Disco kennengelernt und dann hatten wir auch was miteinander und so weiter und dann war der ja wieder weg. Und ich hab wie bei Udo Lindenberg, ich habe gelitten wie ein Schwein, ja. Ich dachte, Gott, du siehst ihn nie wieder, der kam dann auch erstmal nicht mehr. Und das Allerschärfste war, die Mauer ging auf, es war irgendwann Normalität und im Dezember oder was war ich im Blub. Kennst du das Blub? Das ist ein Bad gewesen. Und da war ich mit meiner damals besten Freundin in diesem scheiß Blub und wen treffe ich da wieder? Diesen DJ. Das ist nicht zu glauben, oder? Ey, und er war auch mit einem Freund da und wir hatten einen super geilen Abend. Ja, wir waren dann noch tanzen und essen und dann natürlich auch was anderes und so. Und dann wollten wir Silvester miteinander feiern. Und das war auch so ein geiles Gefühl, weißt du, dass das einfach möglich war. Dass du, also wie gesagt, es war einfach nur schön, das Leben war schön, weißt du? Weil du warst nicht mehr eingesperrt. Es ging mir gar nicht um die Konsumgüter oder um, weiß ich nicht, um das westliche Denken oder so, weißt du, das war gar nicht das. Es ging mir eher um die Freiheit.
They were impressed. They liked it. And in a kind of a power game or not, but they liked it. That it's not like this, you say always what the woman have to do or she has to do. And then it's really happened that divorces came from Western, because of Eastern, or also the man. Different, really a lot of divorces because the people mixed themselves and they liked the other point of view of living.
Yeah, but I must say, a lot of West Berliners, and this is still today, obviously, they have, it's hard to describe. I must say, like, sometimes I have the feeling that West Berliners think that they are something better than East Berliners. Especially the intellectuals, either they had fear from these East Germans, or they were arrogant, or they had seen bad films about communism, or I don't know. Still today, I do not really know what happened. I think that these, especially even less than not so high educated people, normal people, they more had the feeling or the sensation of a new time. Yeah, but especially people who thought about that, they always had had bad thoughts about that. They had, and especially the conservative medias, they were afraid. On one side, they were happy that they now had a new land they could work with for economics, yeah. But on the other side, they were afraid that it might cost too much if all these Eastern people come to East Germany or to West to come to West Germany or to East Berlin, yeah.
And they said to me, you know, I never was there. I never was in East Germany. And I was really wondering, like, come on, guys. I mean, what's up with you? I mean, we are one country. I'm really interested. I always try to go to Cologne or Bonn. It's really exotic for me.
You need some products. It's good to be so rich as we are, yeah? But I must say, I don't feel good to be rich. But richness is a relatively thing. For most people in Germany, I would be looked upon as very, very poor. But for example, the refugees which are coming in these days to our country, I'm an extreme rich person, yeah?
And then they stand in front of the of the PA, because my father had some, not so big, but like a PA in the living room, and also like, for sure, we had a TV, a small one, and we were not rich. I have to say that my family was not a rich family, so we were not like the super rich West German high upper class people. In this moment, I felt really the first time in my life that people came in our living room, stand in front like from a shrine. It was totally weird, and I was sitting and there and watching them, what's happening here now? So, and they said, wow, that's so cool, wow, you have a PA, wow, and I was like, okay, wow, I mean.
I see it also as an alternative concept of living in a country than with Germany, or like this capital, it was an alternative to capitalism. And sure, it was totally going wrong. But if you say nowadays that East Germany was only a dictatorship and we are all really happy that it's gone, then I would say no, because I'm missing this link that it was also like an idea in the beginning of an alternative living, you know, and social responsibility.
And if I say I'm a Catholic, yeah, they say, oh, and why are you a Catholic? Yeah, I'm a Catholic because I believe that we will all someday live in paradise. All people will be in an economically in a good economic shape, yeah, everybody will feel good and there will be no war anymore. That's paradise. Or then say, oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, that's a Christian thinking, yeah. That's the nonsense. People only think in terms. They think in words.
No, it's, I don't think so often about it. I know it basically kind of, how to say, it was an imprint, you know. So for some people, the youth where they come from is an imprint, but then you have a second chance or a third chance probably in the big city you go up again, like some people go, yeah, like Berlin. And for me, there was like three times you, so to say. It was, and you know, that's why, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is like, who doesn't like to think back to the youth, mm-hmm. You know? But I don't see it as so much heroic, but you know, I see it just like a good chance, you know? I mean, good chance to live in this moment, in this time, in this mm-hmm. place, you know? Yeah. And just take your, you know, take your chances and do whatever is possible. So I don't regret that. But on the other hand, it basically fucks you up in terms of once you experience that, you never can accept easily that it's different than, you know, today. Yeah. And you always wait for the moment it crashes again, you know.
Well, but of course, I could talk a lot about the music expression at that time, the discovering of something which you might call noise, or that suddenly there were sounds which never had used before for pop music, and this was all popular music. This was music of young people of the scene, yeah, and became broader and broader.
Oh, it changed already in the mid 90s. 95 was the first flip over, I would say. The first real estate bubble also started, and then the cranes started everywhere, so it became a huge construction zone. Hundreds of cranes in Berlin, so everywhere was noise and buildings and investment, and so it was already predictable that, you know. And then and then also the bar culture changed.
I must say I like techno, I like the minimal music of techno, but actually, especially from today's point of view, I don't like the whole thinking around it, yeah.
And then the crowd was kind of moving from one bar to the other, depending on the day. And the art scene came in, and we had a very important event in Venice with, Mr. Biesenbach from Kunstwerke, and so we collaborated on that even. And that was the start also of the whole web culture and Mosaic browser and so on. Mm-hmm. And for many people, 95 was kind of the watershed. So it was a bit like sitting on a rocket sometimes. So from one year to the next, you could end up being invited to New York for some exhibition or stuff. And that happened all around. So, but it was not so much this weird idea today of a struggle of, you know, competition and differentiation, because it was so open, the field, and so undefined, that it was more like only a question of how and which way you kind of make it coherent, your whatever avant-garde, your kind of...
I went to hardcore concert, because in Eastern, ex-Eastern, Germany, ex-DDR, it was really like one of the best hardcore and punk concerts, because the people were so hungry, so fucking hungry, and it was great. I mean, we drive there with we had always friends that were a little bit older than we, and then they had a car, and then we drove there, and then we go really to really old buildings. Sometimes the building, for sure, they were totally destroyed, just the basement or just some walls, whatever, no roof. And then you had fucking great old school hardcore and really like Yeah, and sometimes also like this Oyskar and this stuff. So I'm not so fan of this, but I saw some concerts that were mixed with hardcore stuff and this Oyskar bands, and then like the tuck 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 tuck, and then the people were.
That's why technology was important, but also politics and reading.
But these, let's say, I just want to now say romantic places. There were romantic places in that scene, that there were open places and you could create something there. And also the administration wasn't tough enough or wasn't strong enough. Still, the first year it was still GDR. The wall fell down, but the state of GDR still existed. But especially in this first month after the crash of the wall, it was really like an area without laws, you know.
Well, I'm drinking green tea here. So I'm beaming back to these transitional years.
Because they
meant like lots of buildings completely abandoned from one week to the other.
And then I remember to go to drive to Berlin with friends, and we go to the first illegal electronic drum and bass parties and techno-y drum and bass parties. It was always in the ex-eastern of Berlin.
Then we moved over to East Berlin after the fall of the wall, quite early already. So and you have to imagine this today in a way, compare it. Let's say there's a financial crisis and they're not able to bail out and the system breaks down. And the whole infrastructure is shutting down. Doesn't mean that people are not living anymore. It would be food, definitely, but whatever is significant for capitalism would just close. You know, so McDonald's would close. And.
But that was the beginning of conquering by young people of the eastern part of Germany.
You know, we read a lot about post-structuralism and, you know, Deleuze Guattari and Foucault and so on.
And then it comes together with the Love Parade and all the stuff, and I remember that all my friends in the beginning, when the first was, they all go there. It was like, wow, we have to go to Berlin and we have to dance, and then they sold, they sold fake MDMA. Because they took aspirin and said to the other tourists, it's like MDMA or like ecstasy. It was ecstasy. It's ecstasy and it's called elephant because it's so big.
And that all began in the 90s. Yeah, and the soundtrack to this, I must say, was Berlin techno. Yeah, and of course also Frankfurt techno. Yeah, there was in the sound also a bit of difference between, for example, Detroit techno and so on. The Berlin techno and also Frankfurt techno was very joyful and well, not really joyful. It was more fun, and it was more that you could take a bath in it. Yeah, you forgot yourself. You became a dancer, and you forgot your individuality. But on the other side, you were still very, very creative, yeah.
But that was necessary to have some kind of theory to, you know, to apply to something which is rather, you know, wide map, wide area on the map, on the cultural map, so to say. But the cultural map mapped back to the really urban, spatial situation where you have. Lots of these spaces, and club culture came from that area, of course, like Tresor and Maria. And
so,
Eimer was good, yeah.
Well, but on the other side, I watched this scene because it was a kind of tribal music, you know.
The phenomenon, of course, was interesting with Tresor because a lot of the musical influences came already from the US, so it was not just East. German music was basically American music, which got basically Germanized, yeah.
Not a music which there was an artist and then he made something and then there were some admirers. No, this whole love parade scene or this early Berlin techno, also the commercial Berlin techno, or this early Berlin techno, and didn't have really a beginning. From that time derives also that expression tracks. I told already that some became organizers and opened discos and new clubs. Also the word club was very new. Nobody said till the late 80s, ich gehe in einen Club, I go to a club. Nobody said that. You said the place where you can dance, but the word club, that actually didn't really exist. But today it's a normal expression for any place you can go to.
But it's not, as it was a kind of large spectrum, it's always forgotten that techno was not just one music, it's like a whole way of making music, you know, it's based on, so it comes basically from technology, it's technology driven, and then what impact technology has on culture is futuristic sounds. You know. This is like something which you can express in all kinds of ways. You know. So,
actually, I should talk more about the social development also in this music scene, at least looked from a far point. Everybody knows about this, how was it called, Love Parade and so on. Love Parade was only a part of the Spaßgesellschaft, of the fun society. Actually, there were a lot of music I liked, but never liked more than three or four pieces. No matter which four or three pieces, yeah, because they all sounded a bit similar. But after four or five, I had enough of that medicine.
They bought it from the look at the poor people, but at least they just eat aspirin and felt out of the eye.
Yeah, we have a dog here. He's very, very sweet.
So this track was something, wasn't a song, wasn't a piece of work, of artwork. No, it was more an atmosphere, or it was a situation, or it was a state. Yeah, that with this music also came a new behavior in music. It was all tribal rituals. Yeah, the music became a ritual. Everybody could do it. Was written or talked enough about that suddenly everybody could buy these computers and make, let's say, at least technical, perfect electronic music. Was that a lot of people did that and they had joy and fun with it, yeah? And so this early musical techno scene is a bit, from a if you describe it, it sounds like a new thing, and then it was a new thing, but it was not so attractive looked at in an artificial way, you know. Suddenly there was a DJ, and sometimes I didn't know a DJ who's only putting one record after the other, and the most just did that, is not a big artist for me. I will, in the next minutes, I will talk about it's more about the soul of people and the real love of people and the real love of people and the real love of people.
And I realized that in the beginning of the 90s, he was trying, the wall was falling down, and then he was trying to be independent, an independent businessman, you know? So I found also like newspapers which were called like the businessman. Yeah, self-employed. And or like being a freelancer, you know? Like all these new worlds, all these new words and all this new world, you know? Okay, the old times are over, you have to deal with yourself. And then I think the first thing what he did, like he bought like a
bag with a calculator in it, with like all these pencils in it, and with his body of work, like a short portfolio, you know, he was buying a suit, and then he was going out
to get some jobs, you know, and then but nobody was waiting for him, yeah, and he realized nobody is waiting for me.
Well, and so suddenly. We had a told already a Spaßgesellschaft also in Berlin. Berlin was never a Spaßgesellschaft. Berlin was more a Gesellschaft or a society where you could do what you want. But suddenly you only had Spaß. And Spaß means there is something and you feel
touched by it, yeah? And then you have a good feeling from that, yeah? It, on the first side, it's a product. It's not anymore Freude, a joy, and oh, we have a joy, we saw this, and we like this, yeah? No, there are products, and they touch you, you are seized by the products, you are in the products, and that's Spaß, yeah?
Of course, they've got the message, okay, now, okay, this is the capitalist world, and I start acting in a more, you know, ego way.
You are always on the run to be creative. You have to be flexible. Flexible till... so flexible that you can even say, yeah, I will kill myself, it's better for economics.
Cigarettes,
yeah.
Maybe... because sometimes you have to find a figure, like, as a figure in a game, which stands for something, and I thought like a cigarette could be something. And nowadays, as an artist, I mean, you are. I'm taking myself out. You know, I destroy myself, and it's all about success, and it's all about money.
Yeah, and it became more and more, and people became more creative and more and more creative. Yeah, and today we have a situation. Where creativity is the normal state, yeah.
All these, I mean, the refugees come the same way, like in 1989. It's strange, yeah. But yeah, they're just small glimpses of something where the system needs to change. It's not enough to have just refugees or have a crash in Greece. If the system itself is not going into this transitional mode, yeah, and adapting to the new situation, or just shut down and pretended the war was still there, and that took them basically 20 years to to accept it, yeah.
And, like a figure, and also the thing is, like, everybody. I mean, you can also use abstract forms as a figure, but then it's abstract, you know. And I like, and somebody said about my work that it's barrier free.
Fun, yeah. I don't know what's in English, whether fun and joy is also that big difference. We have Freude und Spaß. Freude means that you are a part of it and you want to take part of it and you are happy that this thing exists and you maybe also want to have then this exist and you want to use it and you make a part of yourself. But Spaß, yeah, fun means there is something and you just go with it and you... You want to be, yes, again I say touched, or you want to be seized by anything, and then you just have your fun, yeah? And you're not really a part of it, you're only supported by anything, yeah?
Like, you know, like if you are with a wheelchair at the station, everything needs to be flat, you know, that you, this you also call, like, barrier-free. And I like this, but I like this this sentence for art also, like barrier-free art.
The situation of people today is, and this is something which started in the 80s and became more and more in the with the Spaßgesellschaft, more and more in the 90s.
And it's all about on your own. You are always on your own, and this is, I think, this is really sad. That, you are always on your own. I mean, I don't want to be always on my own.
But that's another story, but it's a part of the story, yeah? We have less and less democratic situation, or the situation that, say that in English.
You can buy it in a shop. If you sad about the GRs swept away, no worries, you can go to the supermarket and buy your own nostalgic feelings. But all the rest of the ideas of this whole process is somehow communicated, but only from the perspective of the government. Or let's, I don't know, maybe not government, but of the people who have the power. And I think it's really important to have more voices than just this voice.
Well, the worth of the person, or the worth of something which a person is doing, part what this person is doing, but more from the economical value he's producing. That's the old idea of capitalism, but today this seems to be the only value, yeah?
I also want to reach people.
We are, especially in the Western world, we are relatively good educated, and as long as we are consumers, as long we are producing, as long as we are working and produce more money and we are creative, we as artists, and we go around and have new ideas, so long we are also a good part of that society, because new ideas you use very good for economic growth.
And if I'm too abstract or like too much into my forms and materials, and maybe nobody is able to read my work, then I mean it still would make sense, but I want to have a dialogue with the people, and if I use barrier-free materials and forms which everybody can totally obviously see what it means or what it is, then it's the first step to this dialogue. It's like my open hand, you know, I say like, you're welcome, congratulations, but let's go to the content now. It's also like a trick,